Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. 18 of a message that God laid on my heart titled, Guard the Gift of Grace. Guard the Gift of Grace. What is grace? It's God's unmerited favor. God is gracious to us. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Salvation is the grace of God, Him giving us what we don't deserve instead of what we do deserve, which is to be separated from Him. You know, I just thank the Lord today as we unpack this, the thought process of believing that our profession of faith and walk with Christ is something that we don't need to guard. It's just something, I'm just so thankful I got saved and I'm going to go out there now. I've added a little bit of God, like you add an app on your phone. I've got me a little Jesus now. And then we go on living life. I hope today that if any of us have struggled with that thought process, that God would deconstruct that, because that is not an accurate picture of salvation. As a matter of fact, salvation is this: minus us, plus the work of God, salvation in Christ and the Holy Spirit's indwelling power and presence. We know that because Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Are you today a person who's been brought to life through the work of salvation and the Spirit's power that indwells you? You are a living vessel. You are a temple. We look back in the Old Testament and we see this picture of the temple, don't we? And only the priest, right? The high priest can go in the Holy of Holies, and only at certain times. And they had a rope tied around his foot. They had bells on the bottom of his robes. Why? Not for pomp and circumstance. It was because if the jingling stopped, they dragged his dead self out. That meant that something had not been done properly, and God smoked him, killed him. Do you realize that today we don't have to worry about that? As a regenerate follower of Jesus Christ, we have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells within us. Is that not exciting? We have the ability today to be warned when we're heading in a direction that we shouldn't be headed. Why? Because the Spirit of God convicts us. He loves us so much that even when we continue to run from Him, His loving chastisement. I've had my mother whoop me to half to death, but I'll tell you one thing. I'd have my mother come in here with a belt, and I told you she's a belt smith. I say that in all sincerity. I'd let my mother whip me for 3 hours, then a 2-second whipping from God. Because God loves us so much, and His discipline so effective, that it is earth-shattering. But there is so much love in the loving discipline of God. And what that also shows is sonship. It shows the adoption. He shows that we are one of His. So I hope this morning that if you've experienced that we don't tend to say, God, why are you doing this to me? You don't love me. Why would you do this? No. Recognize that in being a child of His, that He wants to keep us on track, because the pain and the hurt, the heartache, the destruction of our testimony and the consequences of that are quite serious. And I know this morning the gift of grace and salvation, I hope you really understand that we need to actively guard this. Actively guard our minds and our hearts. Parents, you wouldn't turn on HBO and Skinamax and all those different pay-per-view channels and set your little 5-year-old son or daughter in front of it and say, hey, just go and watch your little something in there. Enjoy. I'm going to go in here. We're gonna go in there and play games now. You just enjoy watching whatever your heart's desire is. Anybody in here do that? Please don't raise your hand if you would. But I can safely assume that I don't believe any parent in this building, even if you're not where God would want you to be spiritually, would give your child that remote and say, have at it. What are you trying to do? You're trying to do what you know they're not capable of doing at that time to protect and guard them. Guard them from what? Guard them from one who desires to destroy them. The thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But the enemy is a deceiver, and what he does is so subtly try to come in and undermine the basic tenets of our faith. He doesn't want us to teach our children systematic theology about what they believe and why we believe it. We're working right now, Emily and I, with the senior high kids on their worldview. And what we're doing in that is trying to help them understand that a worldview you're going to have whether you're a follower of Christ or not. What is a proper worldview going to do? Allow them to see God's creative genius in everything that God has instituted and God has planned for them in the proper perspective, and be able to understand that even in what can seem like the monotony of life, what do I say in the monotony of life? Getting together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and playing board games or just fellowshipping and talking about what God's doing in your life, to some people sounds incredibly boring. I remember a time in my life where I would rather be taken to the dentist than given a root canal before I'd want to sit in a group of Christians and play board games. I'm serious. And you know how much I hate root canals. Why? Because I saw that is an absolute, incredibly miserable experience. I know one thing now. You couldn't pay me enough to go back and do the things that I did years ago. Because I'll tell you, the monotony of sitting with brothers and sisters in Christ and what God's doing in our lives and just sharing the blessings of life, the struggles and the battles, is a joy that I cannot in an hour sit here and effectively share with you. See, that's the difference when God comes in and changes your wants, your wills, your desires. It's amazing what God does. Amen? So that's the thing. We many times have to deconstruct a lot of what we build up in our minds. And we can see, as I tell the kids, what looks so monotonous and boring and serving the Lord is actually not. What it is, it's living within. What did I share with you? The Bible is. The Bible is merely the construct of the God's purpose, God's design, and God's plan for our lives. What is found within that? The greatest level of fulfillment that we could ever fathom in our lives. But see, did God tell you not to eat of the tree? The lie, again, there's no such thing as the lies. It's the same lie that was sold from day one. It's the lie that there is a fulfillment found in something other than the construct of God's beautiful design for our lives. What do? We fall for the lie. It promises a level of fulfillment. Kids, it promises that if you sneak in and you get a hold of the remote, you'll finally be able to see what they're holding you back from. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about when you find that out too. They're not holding you back from anything that will help you in any way. It'll only hurt you. Same way that our little ones at the house. We don't live on the street, but let's say we come here on Sundays and we go outside and say, y'all, we're going to let the little 2 and 3-year-olds, we'll let them outside. Y'all have fun. Don't get near the road now. It's dangerous. Y'all come in when you've had enough. Where are they going to go? I don't care. You can put 100 of them out there and 100 of them are going to go. What if for whatever reason, I have no idea, straight for the road. You got a playground? No, they're going to go for the road. Never understood it. Guess, again, the enemy desires to steal, kill, and destroy. But see, when we can see it for what it is and understand that even in the guarding of that gift of God's unmerited favor, his grace to us, when you can effectively convey to your children, starting at a young age, because they understand a lot more than you think, when you help them start to understand that mom and dad aren't the boogeyman, we get labeled as that, and parents, why in the world do we just sit around and not address that and help them understand, why would I want to protect you? It's the same reason that I told John many years ago, he was playing with a friend that I had been friends with his dad before I came to Christ and spent a lot of time with. We did things we weren't supposed to. We were drinking and do that and carry on. And when I came to faith in Christ, I had to pull myself back. Why? Because I'm better than him? No. because I was weaker. And in my new life in Christ, I didn't have a place for the attitudes and the actions and the things that I was doing before, so I was having to separate myself from the temptations that I did not need to stand within at that moment and be faced with. So one day I see some things happening in John's life, and he was real young. He's probably about 6 or 7 maybe. And I said, John, I don't want you to play with this boy anymore right now because there's just some things. He's much older than you are, and there's things that he's seeing at school. And I don't want to say, well, Daddy, why? And I'll tell you what I said. God just laid this on my heart so quick. It was just unreal, and I knew it was him. I said, do you remember when I used to hang out with his father? I said the man's name because we were friends. I said, remember when we used to go out and we did this, that, and the other? I said it for what it was because John hadn't been hidden from it. And I said, you know, remember when Daddy came to know Jesus Christ, how I've not been doing that, and God delivered me from the drinking and all those things. I said, do you think it would be good if Daddy went and hung out with my friend? Because you know what they're still doing. Church, I sit here as sure as ever. He never asked me, never said another word, didn't get upset or anything. It was like, oh, okay. See, we need to sit and help our children understand systematic theology. You don't tell them the flannel graph and that's just the way it is. You need to teach your children how to contend and defend for the faith, church. If not, there'll be nothing more than the statistic that 15 years ago now that 80% of children from Southern Baptist homes leave the faith within 2 years of going to college. We've got to teach them how to believe and to receive and understand and defend when they have atheistic professors that know the Bible literally better than they do, and they've been taught to deconstruct what they believe. That's why I tell you it's so important to be in God's Word. You better be like the Bereans. Don't take it because I said it. Go home and get in God's Word. Dig in God's Word. Because by God's grace, by His restraining grace, I easily, church, could be led astray myself. Very important for us to be deeply rooted in God's Word, guarding that gift of grace. I hope this morning that we are encouraged by this and that you have found 2 Timothy chapter 1. You will look at verses 13 through 18, and if you are physically able this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. 'Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who lives in us that good thing entrusted to you. This you know, all those in Asia have turned away from me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he diligently searched for me and found me. May the Lord grant that he obtained mercy from him on that day. You know very well how much he ministered to us at Ephesus. Father, thank you, God, this morning for the privilege, God, of your word, the truth of your word, Father, the challenge of your word, the life that is found within your word. God, I pray, Lord, that we will recognize how broken, how depraved we are apart from you, Lord, and without you, we can do nothing. Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross today, Lord, so that the gift of salvation and the power of the Holy Spirit might speak to hearts, Lord, as only you can. Father, I recognize, Lord, that there is nothing good that dwelleth in us, Lord, and I know that faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God. Lord, speak. We give you all of this, and we ask it in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, Proverbs 4:23 says, I love this verse, guard your heart above what all else, for it's the source of life. You hear me share often 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, take every thought captive to the will of Christ. We really see, as followers of Christ, what God calls us to do. And that's what I'm really hitting at this morning, is us recognizing that we must build ramparts. We must stay in God's word, stay in accountability. It is important, above all, that in the mornings we get up, we get in God's word, we give him our day, we give him our family. Men, by the way, guys, you're going to stand accountable for your entire family. Think about that for a minute, amen? Why does that mean that we need to be on top of it? Because if you really think about that, that's some serious business. Therefore, dads, you should work out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? God, keep me desperate for you, fear and trembling, recognizing how serious that call is and that command to take all of this very serious, because it is serious. Guarding the wellspring of life in your family, the hearts, the minds. There's a bunch of trash out there right now. I'm not joking. It's every day that people will send me something, and you always think, you know, I've seen it all now. Church, I stopped saying that a long time ago, amen? The reason I stopped saying that is I really recognize in Romans chapter 1, good old, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I don't say that any kind of, you know, oh, this will be fun. No, I recognize, though, that God's working out his plan. To God be the glory. And I'm excited about that, because I know one thing. It doesn't matter if I one day die an old man or Jesus Christ comes back in whatever form. Remember, I'm a pan-millennial. It's going to pan out. It doesn't matter to me if it comes back, when he comes back. We're all going to know at the same time, and I will not fight with you over it. It doesn't matter. We can look at all of them. We talked about that, Eddie, with Revelation. We can give a platform for any pre, mid, doesn't matter. What does matter is that you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you're living obedience, that life that he's created you to live. That's what matters this morning. So we're going to get from point A to point B, recognizing the gift of what salvation is, church. Do you realize what a gift the grace of God is in Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what it does to me. It makes me feel really small when I recognize how much God loves me. Because as I become more aware, the older I get, young people, you'll understand this, the older you get, the more broken you recognize you are. Amen, old ones? And what it helps you do is you start to empathize with people, unless you're self-righteous, pharisaical type of thing. When somebody's battling or struggling, you sit there and you go, you know, it's only by God's grace that I'm not battling this. And you have compassion and you want to be merciful to them. Now, that doesn't mean that you embrace their sin. By the way, matter of fact, Paul, so what does he say when somebody's repentant? You hurry up and forgive them. You embrace them. Why? So don't become overwhelmed in their sorrow. What's that sorrow? Godly sorrow leads to repentance, but worldly sorrow leads to death. Worldly sorrow is, oh, doggone it, I got to get better at hiding. Godly repentance is recognizing the weight of your sin and, in a sense, what we have laid on Jesus. As a matter of fact, I love what my brother says. He says, I want to have joy for the things that give God joy. I want my heart to break for the things that break his heart. Think about that. I want joy for the things that give my Lord joy. But I want the things that break the heart of God to break my heart. Imagine when we start looking through things like that. When we start looking at situations like that. I think we start to see things through the heart of Jesus, and we watch him ministering to who? Tax collectors, the prostitutes, the broken. What does he say? I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, the sick. That's our call. That's our mission field, church. Today, what are we doing? We're in a huddle. This is, in a sense, a football huddle with a team. What are we doing? We're making plays. We're relishing. We're doing our whoa, you know, whatever these little things they do. I don't watch, you know, I watch football, so I don't know. Some of you could probably get up here and interact them. I don't know that, but I know they get together in huddles and they're working out plays that they go out then into the field and work out. So that's what we're doing today. We're huddling. When we have a battle, we're crying with, we're praying with, we're praying for, we're encouraging. When you make it to the finals, whatever you call it, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's like you trying to talk about being a police officer if you don't know nothing about it. You don't know what to do. It's the same way with me in sports. I don't know. One of these days, maybe I'll learn the jargon so I can have a little bit more ability to connect in that sense. But these games leading up to the Super Bowl, see, in a sense, the older you get, you recognize that you are closer to the Super Bowl. You only have this. I love this saying, and I've put it up a few times. We have eternity to celebrate the victories. but only a few hours before sunset to win them. Don't sit back rejoicing in what you've gotten able to be a part of, because what will happen is we get so focused on that we forget there's a whole lot more ministry that needs done. And we can rejoice in eternity over those victories. Amen? Staying focused this morning is so important, but here we are, verse 13 again. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you've heard from me in the faith and the love that are in Jesus Christ. First thing that I want to share with you comes out of that verse this morning, and it is this. When you do not see salvation as a gift needing guarded, big trouble is coming. If you know anything, even a little bit, about our corporate culture now in business, there is a big push for security. Not only is there a big push for cameras on the building and key lock doors that have the sliding cards and you know, guarded access and keypads and all these different million-dollar things that they spend at these big corporations to secure the physical building and the assets of the corporation, the trade secrets and all of these things that they spend enormous amounts of time and effort to protect. They spend enormous amounts of money now in this internet age on IT professionals that are, in essence, security guards that guard against those same trade secrets being exploited in a digital sense, and they construct these firewalls. And if you know anything about that, it is a continual effort that never stops. The reason is the ones who desire to exploit them are themselves refining their trade continually, the same way that burglars, every time you hear about someone drilling up under a bank, I've heard about one in the last 10 years where they spent weeks going up under it, they drilled into it and stole enormous amounts of money on a holiday weekend. And I sit here and I go, are we not that far along in our culture where they're not smart enough to put sensors in the concrete? Come on. But yet, what happens? These people have spent time, they've thought it out, and they want nothing more. Their sole objective is to victimize. We must continually remember that there is an enemy that we face every single day. And by the way, in the human perspective, our enemies have to sleep. But the one that prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, does not sleep, and he has an army with him of demons. Therefore, it's very important for us to recognize that we have to spiritually be on our A game. We can't slumber in a reading God's word perspective. We can't slumber in praying for our children that God would protect them. Men, we can't relegate, we can't abdicate the protective function that God has entrusted with us because we're tired. We have to be on our A game, spiritually, yielded to the Lord, recognizing that God's power is made perfect in weakness. So don't think that we are able to master it so we're the power that does it. No. What I'm saying is, when I say we've got to be on our A game, we are on our A game, resting in our weakness, recognizing that we can't do it, but we serve one who can. What? Don't only be hearers of God's word and so deceive yourselves, be doers also. Every single one of these concepts, a lot of times we know it. But how often do we know it, but then don't do it? How many times do you walk out of the living room with the remote and your child's in there watching it, and you come back, oh no, what was I doing? I say this when I'm talking to people. I said, we can't be wrong ever. People don't understand, when I was raising my kids, with John especially, right? Because he's going to be the one that is the protector in a home. And I say, son, you can't ever forget anything. Well, Dad, that just happens. No, son, it can't. Dad, you're being unreasonable. No, I'm not. Why? Because I know the stories about mom and dad getting ready for church on Sunday morning. Go back there to the back of the car, set the new baby down behind the car because we're putting all this stuff in the car, right? Wife gets done putting her part in the car, gets in the car. Oh, man, Not used to putting the car seat in the car, so what does he do? He gets in. I don't have to tell you what happened next, do I? And I'm not making up the story. It's true. Do you know what I'm trying to say? There's really good people that accidentally leave their kids in a hot car. Yes, they're the ones that leave them in a car and go into a bar for 6 hours. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people when we get so busy and we're so systematic in the way that we do things in our lives that when the dad has to take the child one day to daycare, or the mom who doesn't, the dad does it in the other days, whatever it might be, guy or girl, you go through. I actually read a thing about how the brain works and how easy that can happen. Do they want to do it? No, they'd never do that. These are people who love their kids and they spend their day at work. Why? Because it was never even a thought that they forgot to take their kid. How does it happen when mom goes to pick the kid up or the dad goes back, goes in and said, hey, I'm here to pick up, you know, my child. You never dropped him off. What? See, that's what we've got to recognize. We have an enemy that doesn't sleep. Men, we can't let down our guard. We've got to be on our A game, because what does he desire? Division. He desires to sift us. He desires to get us out of accountability and friendships and relationships. He wants us to think that guarding the gift is not an option or an issue, because why? I got saved. It's all good. You buy into that lie, brothers and sisters, and you will find great pain as a result of that. See, when we don't see salvation as a gift that needs guarded, big trouble's coming. Big trouble. Because you see in the parable of the soils, one of the four produced a crop. What cares this world? Deceitfulness of wealth. The others trampled. Think about it. How easily it is to fall in love with the world, to fall in love with people's intentions, and to live with your feelings on your shoulder all the time. Live your entire life with that. Well, my wife hurt me. My husband hurt me. I'm just giving up on everything. Been married 9 times. Nope. I'm telling you, one day I'll find someone that treats me the way I'm supposed to. Why don't you look at what the Bible says? What is love? What's real love? Guarding the truth of what even real love is. What is real love? This is one of the things I always remember about that. If you don't remember the rest of it, let's just go to the very end. Love never fails. I'll give you a little bit of the back part of it. It hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. See, love's not an emotion, church. Love is a commitment, the same way that we're very unlovable people often. Amen? Jesus didn't die for us because we were lovable. We were wretched sinners, depraved, that he had to give his life for us and bear our sin on the cross. He didn't do it because, wow, they just messed up a little bit, so I'm going to come in here and I'm going to fill in the gap. No. There's not one righteous, no, not one. But he died for us anyways. He took the full weight of our sin, every thought, every deed conceivable in our lifetime, and took it upon himself. See, that's the love that I tell you often. I try to wish I could put into words, but there's no words for that in the human perspective, because God's love is incomprehensible. It's unable to be the process. We can't begin to fathom it. It's so awesome and so broad. Wes King sings a song, how deep is the love of Christ, incomparable kindness to less than the weak, the broken, the shattered. It's an incredible song. It's a great song. It says, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. It's unable to be measured, church. It's limitless. Isn't that awesome? See, that's the God this morning that has entrusted us with the Holy Spirit. And now don't you understand why it needs to be guarded? Because the enemy disdains the gift that we have. He desires you and I to be completely ineffective spiritually, so that no one around us ever sees the real picture of Jesus. He never wants us to be someone who goes out there and shares and increases the kingdom effectively. He doesn't want us to produce that crop. He wants us in the fields, white unto harvest, with a blown mind, sitting there going, what happened for 30 years? So that all the ones that God desired you and I to go reach, we never reach a fraction of them because we are distracted and diverted with things that have no eternal meaning. Listen to verses 14 and 15 again. Guard through the Holy Spirit who lives in us that good thing entrusted to you. This you know, all those in Asia that have turned away from me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. This leads to the second thing that I want to share with you this morning, and is this. The Holy Spirit is the only power able to give us the ability to guard the gift. Why do I perpetually remind you of the importance of the Holy Spirit, the importance of recognizing we don't have the ability, but we have been entrusted with what Jesus referred to as the Comforter. The Comforter. It's the conviction of his ability to show us when we're headed down the wrong road, because why? We're distracted, we're diverted. We have well-meaning. What happens? You watch A Pilgrim's Progress, great book by John Bunyan. If you haven't ever read it, please read it. As a matter of fact, isn't it almost, is it the second oldest book? Real close. It's way, way old. It's really old. Take it this way. It's super old. Pilgrim's Progress, great book. But it's a picture of a person's walk from being lost to coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's really neat because all of these distractions that who? Anybody know the name of the guy in there? Christian. Thank you, brother. What does he meet? He meets apathy. He meets all these different characters and all these scenarios in life, and he gets caught up in a, Vanity Fair. You know what Vanity Fair was? A place of wickedness. It was indulgence of everything. It's kind of a picture of what Las Vegas, you know, when you think about going to Las Vegas and all these distractions and these things that undermine everything and this pull to try to get us distracted and diverted on things that do nothing but destroy. And it's, you see it in the book about people that get dragged into it and the friends he'll have along the way that get caught into these different traps. See, the Holy Spirit of God is the only thing that can give us the wisdom to see the dangers that lie on any given day. Ladies, as you're ministering to those precious new little, but you wouldn't do anything to harm them. Hey, you want to pray effectively, baby ladies? God, through the power of your Spirit and your restraining grace, don't ever let me get so caught up in things going on, phones, life, the pool, the thoughts of what I think things should be or whatever. God, don't ever let me get lax in my, don't ever let me forget my child, Lord. It's so easy. I know it can happen. God, by your restraining grace, it won't happen. My sister turned around one time, went to grab a phone, and one of her little ones fell in the pool and drowned. Thank the Lord they got her back. There was a neighbor, I think, that knew CPR, but the ambulance got there real soon. But my sister didn't know it at that point. Could have ended so differently, but it can happen with anyone. Ladies, start praying that. Hey, older ladies of this church, how about praying for our young ladies who are growing in their walk with Christ? How about encouraging them in their walk with Christ? Shooting them a text. Hey, I have people that'll text me and say, I need some verses right now to do with, boom. You know what I do? Apple don't do a lot of things good, but there's a new thing on your keyboard. If you're an Apple person, let me know. You can hit the little button on there. It pulls up every, this is so cool, anxiety, fear, deception. You hit it and it pulls up all the verses associated with it that fast. Somebody texts me a week and a half ago. I need some verses on this. I sent about 30 of them in about 30 to 40 seconds. They're like, good gracious, that was fast. Use these tools that so often are used for the enemy. Use them for the Lord. Use them for the Lord. Encourage. Hey, you older lady, you have a great minute. Look at all these little ones we have. You can be, in a sense, a surrogate grandparent. Speak. Hey, love. Spend time with them. Encourage them. You know what it was like to be young in your generation. What about now? Older guys, how about spending some time with our young guys and all these young men in here? God's blessed us with. How about these parents with teenagers right now that don't know what they're going to do because they're so frustrated or have young children? Amen. I say that from experience. Some days it's just It's tough enough just to get one foot in front of the other. What about getting together with two or three of you and start praying for our young families? Praying for old alike, praying for everybody in between that. It's getting serious about seeing what God's given us, the blessing, guarding not only what God's entrusted us with, but also the body of Christ with. God has blessed us, church, tremendously. You want to invest? You want to minister to somebody? Talk to me. I'll plug you up with somebody who needs someone to spend an hour with them every week and help take the load. Spend a little time. I'll give you the books to do. Disciple them. Well, I don't know enough. Oh, I don't care. I'll give you books that'll help you. All you've got to do is have the willingness and desire to spend that hour with them. Maybe it's every 3 weeks. It doesn't matter. Go out to breakfast. Sit in front of each. Share, hey, how you doing? I'm having a tough week. How can we pray? You know what it takes? It takes willingness and second obedience. See, the Holy Spirit is the only power able to give us that ability to guard that gift, whether it's the gift of the Holy Spirit in our hearts or whether it's the gift of the brothers and sisters in the pews. He's the only one that can, I can guarantee you right now, the word already calls us to it. But what is our obedience going to do? Don't only be hearers of the word and so deceive yourselves, be doers also. And then we move on. Verse 16 through 18, may the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he diligently searched for me and found me. May the Lord grant that he obtained mercy from him on that day. And you know very well how much he ministered in Ephesus. Church, the third and final thing I'm going to share with you this morning is this. Pray for those who serve, who sacrifice, and suffer. Ready? With you. With you. We are all laboring in the same field. I'm not in a different field than you are. We're all in the same field, fields that are white unto harvest. How important are you in that field? Well, Brother Jonathan, I'm not a pastor, so stop it. Don't you dare say that. Do you realize that you can be a stay-at-home mom, a mom that's having to work because you don't have that option to do it? And if you are living in obedience and submitting to where God has created you to be, you can have as effective or more of an effective ministry than I ever dreamed of. It is in your belief that your ministry is less and the ability of you is to do way less than I could ever. And all that I do, there's no way you could do that. And the only thing that's going to hinder your ability is that statement and mindset right there. Because what you're thinking is, anybody know about a man that went out to the desert? He was in a big city. God tells him to go out to the middle of the desert. Starts with a P. Philip. When I went through Acts, I remember sharing it that night that I preached, that was going through the book of Acts. God sends him out to the desert. Remember, now he's in the city. I say, when God led him to go out there, can you imagine what could have happened? God, come on now, there's all these people here. Don't send me out on some, what is this, a wild goose chase? Do you realize what I believe the fruit of that encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch was that night, that day? I believe God took the gospel to the southern hemisphere of Africa because of that obedience. How easy it would have been for him to get all soiled up and say, God, I want something that's going to be effective and I can minister to a whole lot more people. Because he was on fire. He was living in obedience. But see, in that encounter in the desert, God used him because he was willing to say, God, it's not my will, but your will be done. Is that your life this morning? That third and final thing about praying for those who serve, sacrifice, and suffer with you. I can assure you right now, church, if it wasn't for your prayers, your encouragement, and service alongside me in the fields that are white unto harvest, I would not have been in ministry. I can promise you I'd still not be. I promise you, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't do it because just because you encourage me and challenge me, but I'm going to tell you something. There is a very, 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 very hard profession, and that is ministry. It's not like the good old days, as a lot of the pastors talked about decades ago. It's a tough field to be in right now. And I know this for a fact, that pastors are leaving left and right. Encourage you. That's why I encourage you. Those verses that I said in the morning. God's word doesn't return void. Easy to step back and to say, you know, that's just time consuming, and I have all those troubles for all those years with the phone and sending out those things, and it's just not worth it. No, I know it's worth it. And that's why I pushed on, even when the phones don't do right. Because I know that because of the resistance, how important it is. Amen? That's why it's important for us, though, to pray for those who serve, which is you, alongside of us, and suffer with us. There's people in here that are suffering because of their love for Christ. Now we're not being persecuted like they do in other countries. I believe it's coming. You said, Pastor, right now, I got it through AFA this week, the one in Canada who's in prison right now, they want him to just stop, shut his church down, and they leave him alone. He's in jail, and he won't agree to do that. If you want to know the story, I'll be glad to forward it to you. Please let me know. See, we think that is so far removed from us. There's no way in the world. You keep thinking that right there. Just like a year ago this next week. Who in the world right now, 1 year ago, would have ever thought that churches would be closed? Who? And when it happened, we realized how fast that things can happen. Don't wait until what God's blessed you with, his unmerited favor and the gift of salvation. Don't wait until your family's out the door. Don't wait until your possessions have all almost been lost to realize what a blessing and a gift of grace that they are. Don't wait until your child, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather is gone before you realize the gift of what they are to you. Don't wait until that brother or sister in the pew goes home to be with Jesus to share with them what a blessing they've been to you. To share how God's used them in your life. Because I've seen it over and over and over again. We are not promised 5 more seconds. Passionately hold on to that gift of grace that God's given you. Recognize the profound importance of knowing that we did not deserve salvation. It is a gift of God. That to me is something that I like to continually reiterate, because what it helps do for me is magnify. You think about it, magnify the name of Christ. It magnifies how precious salvation is to me. We can easily fall into the notion, you know, well, I got saved. It's so nice. You know, woohoo. What's next? To me, that's a cheapening of the immense suffering and sacrifice that was made for you and I to be able to become the righteousness of God. Can you imagine one day? When the brokenness, the cancer, the muscular dystrophy, the birth defects, and we could go on. In the moment that last breath has been breathed, the glorious unveiling of our faith becoming sight when we see our Savior face to face. Oh, what a day it will be when my Jesus I shall see. Do you ever think about that? If you don't, I want to encourage you to do it. I want to encourage you to think about what it's going to be like the moment that the sufferings of this earth are forever gone and the glorious unveiling of your faith becoming sight. as you stand in the presence of the very one who gave you and I the ability to stand there by his grace. Imagine, no more night, no more tears, no more suffering. I love what the Bible says. It says the old order of things will have passed away and all things will be new. Are you longing for that day? Now, I don't say this in a fatalistic sense of, I'm just ready to die, I'm sick of all this. Don't, please. You long for that in the sense of, God, let me run that race. Let me finish the work that you have for me, Father, so that I will run and faithfully cross that finish line, not growing weary and doing good. But God, let me run faithfully. Let me run effectively. And Lord, with a passion that is a reflection of your glory. And let the world see Jesus lived out in my life. I pray this morning that that's your heartbeat. I pray that that is your banner. That King Jesus is your Jehovah Nissi, your banner. That the first thing that people see when they see you is not how bad of a day you've had or how this or how your wife said that, or your husband said that, your kids are doing this, your car's broke, your house is leaking. Let the first thing be out of your mouth. Praise God. God bless you. God is so good. Make him ask about what's wrong. How you doing? What's going on? Man, God's been so good to me that I don't even know what to, I'm about to blow up. Good gracious, I need some of that. Well, let's talk. Let him go, now really, how are things really going? Well, I mean, I got normal things in life. You know, if you pray because I've got a leak in the roof right now. The car's acting up. But you know what? I'm not going to focus on all that negative stuff, man. We're going to get, hey, I'm focusing on King Jesus because I know that all of this is going to give way to his glory one day. And I know I've got to live here right now, but I try to spend as little time in that and more time in the glory of the resurrected Savior. Let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be what? Pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, my rock, my fortress, my strong tower, my deliverer. Is that what your heart is? If not, I challenge you today. Come out of the darkness. Come out of all that garbage. If you need to jerk your TV out of your house, I'll help you. We'll throw it right out the front door. I'm serious. You having trouble with your kids not getting off of this, that, or the other? Good. I'll come over here and we'll excise it. I'll throw it in the back of the pickup truck and I won't give it to nobody. I'll let it get rained on and let it get ruined. You know what? Then you can get your kid focused on what you want to be focused on. I'm saying we sometimes have to come in and do a total, what about an extreme home makeover? I'm not talking about the ABC version. Let's just talk about the spiritual version. You want to do a hard reset? It takes an overt act of your will and the decision to say, I am going to allow my house to be what? Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What happens if my wife gets mad? Brothers and sisters, if you are doing this in a godly manner for God's glory and not a self-righteous legalistic sense, I can promise you God is going to give her an affirmation of heart if you're trying to sanctify your home for God's glory. There ain't many amens on that. Y'all scared to death. Uh-oh, I don't want to admit. She might think I was going to. But I'm asking you. You're going to continue to let apathy and indifference and unconcern? Guys, you're going to stand accountable for it. You want your place to be a place of glorious glory of God, a shining, radiant, beautiful picture. Man, I'm going to just challenge you with one more thing. I'm going to smack you real good before we leave. You're to protect your family's hearts. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. I hope you, man, won't get on your TV and turn on Stephen King's It and let your wife sit in front of that and watch it. If so, I want to just tell you right now, shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. Don't expose your bride to that filth. Amen? Because that will do nothing but allow a doorway with which the enemy can harm your precious bride. Don't let it happen. You got to love her enough to say, honey, we got to watch what we put in our minds and what we put in our ears. I want to protect you. I don't ever want to, you have a choice to do what you want to do. But honey, my greatest desire is to protect you because you are precious. You have been entrusted, and I've been entrusted to protect you as a guardian. I am no controller. Again, don't you ever forget, men, you cannot make your wife's choices for them. Don't you forget that. Amen? But you can create an atmosphere that she sees such a loving, protective desire in you. What woman would not want a man to try to help protect her if she wasn't to see a danger that was sitting right around her? Amen? The same way that I hope my wife and I hope your wife would see a danger that's around you and help you be woken up to that. Amen? We are a family. We're a body. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. But we serve a big God. This morning, are you a living sacrifice? Is your home and your heart and your life a sanctuary? Is your desire to greater conform into the likeness of Christ and allow the reflecting picture of Christ Jesus to be reflected in your family? If you'd say no today and your desire is to do that, you can do that today. If your desire today is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you'd say, I don't know right now what would happen, Brother Jonathan, if I breathed my last breath. I'm like you growing up, I know all about it, but I don't never come to that place where I have been able to lay my life down. And I have that emptiness in my heart, and I want to know Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior, my King. And I'm ready for it to go from head to heart. You're at the right place today because we serve a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And the very heart's cry of that today is a heart that is in line with God's desire. Let's pray. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.